Welcome to Crosstalk, the official podcast of Crossroads Church in Daytona Beach, Florida. We hope this sermon will be a blessing to you and help you learn the Bible and live the Bible.
Well, needless to say, this is a little overwhelming, so I just want to say thank you. And I really want to say thank you to two people, the first being our Lord and Savior, amen. I don't know what you think or you feel, but I just want you to know tonight that our God has been doing an amazing work in our church since Brother Rich took over, amen. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for lifting up the leadership of our church, and so I just want you to know that I am more than thrilled to confirm to you that the correct choice was made in Brother Rich Costanza. Amen? Amen for that. So. All right, tonight, open your Bibles to the book of Psalms. Tonight will be an introductory message. I thought what I would do is kind of set the tone for Wednesday nights. Some of you have only heard me preach on Sundays. I'm usually much nicer on Wednesdays. So I just thought that I would pass that on. Somebody told me that I was needed to keep things a little spicy, so I don't know if that's true or not true. But I want to do Psalm number one. It's one of my favorite, but one of the reasons I want to touch on it tonight is Psalm number one is sort of a summary position on the entire Bible. It points the way to blessing. It's about divine judgment. It gives us the path of two directions. One of the things that you'll learn about the Bible is really about a choice, isn't it? It's always about choice. And God's saying, hey, listen, I've got my way, and then there's other ways. And the question will always be for you and I, will we choose God's way or will we choose another way? And so Psalm 1 wants to kind of lay out for you and I that there are ramifications to both sides of the choice, whichever one that you should make. Also, it kind of takes us back to Genesis. We get to see about man, we get to see about trees, we get to see about the river of life. And so it has a very strong connection back to the very first chapter of your Bible. And I want to say tonight that the men who conspired to put the Psalms together were surely filled with the Holy Spirit when they put Psalm 1 at the very beginning. It's called a wisdom psalm, and so we're to gather wisdom from that. And so we're going to go ahead and dive in, and what I'd like to do is tell you this. The theme of this psalm is the true way to happiness. We hear it all the time today, don't we? Oh, I just want to be happy. If I could just be happy. Well, tonight, we're going to give you that answer. How's that? We'll give you the answer to how to be happy. Now, if you've never been with me in a teaching session, let alone preaching, there is no chance I will get through all six verses in one night. So I hope you brought your fingers. One of the tasks that you have to do here is you have to be able to hold multiple references at one time. So that's just something we always do. All right? Psalm number one. Ready? Verse one. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff, which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's pray. Father, what a joy to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for the wisdom of our leadership to allow us to have a break in the middle of the week to spend in your word and to worship you and to fill our cups with your wonderful presence, which we ask you please now to manifest yourself in the power of your Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our minds to receive the word of God. We pray that you would be our teacher and that you would convict us to obey your word and to choose life and not death. We praise you, Father. We glorify you tonight. We glorify your Son who has made all this possible. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name, and God's people said, amen, amen. All right, verse 1, ready? Blessed. The Hebrew is Asher. The term would be happy. satisfied, content. In other words, happy is the man. Blessed is the man. It even implies multiple blessings, very honestly, and we'll touch on some of those when we finish up the psalm because I want to work through it on a verse-by-verse case. But blessed is the man, number one, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now you say, well, Wade, what would be considered ungodly? Which is a pretty strong term biblically, but the implication of an ungodly person is one who is evil, a wicked, has chosen not to follow those principles which would be of the Lord. You say to yourself, well, I don't know that many evil, wicked people. Other than they're all living in Washington. No, I'm just kidding. By the way, I'm not being recorded, so I can say whatever I want to say. No, I'm just kidding. Now, let me say this. Let's clear the air real quick, okay? You were wicked, and you were evil, and you were ungodly when you didn't know Christ, period. The Bible says there was none good, there was none righteous, there's not one that seeketh after the Lord. And as I often say to my folks, they're probably tired of hearing it, but glory to the day when the light bulb came on and you realized, you know what, I'm just really not that good without Christ. Amen? Amen. And so when we think about this counsel of the ungodly, the idea is that we walk in it. Let's look at a couple of verses. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 81:12. Let's just run some cross references. That's what Bible studies are for. And this is a verse that I remember the first time I read it, it scared the daylights out of me, to be very honest with you. And God is speaking here about his own people. Look, if you would, at verse chapter 10. Everybody yell at me when you get there. Psalm 81. Everybody there? Good. 81:10. Ready? Here we go. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So here's the scary part, right? So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Can I just tell you that that is probably the scariest place for any human being on the face of the planet? The scariest place for a person is to be given over to their own heart's lusts, for God to remove himself and to allow a person to walk in their own counsel. You say, why is that? Because Jeremiah says the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? Amen. And so imagine that God allows someone to fulfill the lusts of their own heart when we already know there's no good outcome to that process. It's impossible. Amen? So we see here that that counsel is led over. Let's look at another one, Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, just to the right. One book, Proverbs chapter 1. All right, we'll be in Proverbs for a couple here. Make it easy for you. Proverbs chapter 1, let's look at verse 15. My son, walk now, not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, verse 15. Look, if you would, at chapter 4. Chapter 4 of Proverbs. Excuse me. The Bible says, enter not in verse 14. Verse 14 says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. If you would, flip back to 1 Peter, all the way back in the New Testament, all the way back in the New Testament after the book of James. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 4, everybody there? All right, verse 1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us, verse 1, in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Okay, let me just pause for a moment. You understand that if you choose to follow the Lord, you're going to suffer. Is everybody clear? I want to make sure everybody's clear on that. There's no following Jesus in a world that doesn't love Jesus, that doesn't want Jesus, that doesn't like Jesus, that the whole world lieth in wickedness. There's no following Jesus and think that at some point in time, you're not going to suffer some ramifications for that choice. And the Bible says that as that was the mindset of our Savior, Christ Jesus, we're to arm ourselves. Think about that. You're to load your gun and be prepared that something's coming your way you may have to work through. Amen. He says, likewise, with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Has anybody here ever quit something that you had a habit to? Anybody besides me? Like, mine was chewing tobacco. My class all knows my story, but I'm not going to go into that. Do you remember how it felt the first day you went through withdrawal? Do you remember how it felt 30 days later? So here's all I want to say about that. What was your motive? The motive was, I honestly believe that if I will cut this thing out of my life, I will be adding, hear me out now, some form of blessing. Either my life will be better, I will add years to it, I'll have more money in my bank account because alcohol, drugs, and all the rest is very expensive, amen, right? Well, isn't that really the same thing for our Savior? In other words, when we arm ourselves to put our flesh under, aren't we really saying, hey, I've counted the blessings of Christ more blessed than the lusts of my flesh? But I want to say tonight, that isn't just going to happen because we got saved and we're filled with the Holy Spirit. That happens when we arm ourselves mentally and already make up our mind, hey, I'm in the game, the battle's on, but I'm not losing. That's kind of the mindset that Christians have to have sometimes. And so look what he says, verse number 2. He says, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Amen? Here's what I want to focus on, verse 3. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, that's lewd living, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Now watch this. Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riotous living, or riot, speaking evil of you. Okay, now let me paraphrase. How many of you remember this phrase? Because this is an old-time phrase, but it's in the Bible. You remember this phrase like your parents would say, hey, who'd you go out with tonight? Who'd you run with? Right? Listen, ball players would go, we got my running mate. Didn't you have a running mate, Dukes? Everybody has a running mate. So this is not a new phrase. So we would say, hey, who'd you go running with? Meaning what? Who were your companions for the evening? What did you go out and do? Now, if it wasn't good, you kind of told them you went out with somebody nice. If it was bad, you told them you went out with somebody, you know how it went. We all lied. I know that. But here's my point. Your parents would say, who'd you go running with? And you'd say, well, it was so-and-so. It was always that kid that you knew they liked, right? Here's what God said. God said in the Word, he says here, do you think it's strange that when you decided to no longer run in your wicked ways, do you think it's strange that the Gentiles, quote unquote, that you used to run with, your old friends, why do you think it's strange that behind your back they're speaking things about you? Because you know that they are, right? The day you got saved and decided to follow Christ and not do what you used to do, you created a contentious environment for them. You weren't trying to. You just decided, hey, I'd rather be blessed than cursed. But they don't understand that because they're blinded by the God of this world. Amen. And God was kind enough to open your eyes to see you needed Christ. So why do we think it's such a strange thing that they would speak evil of us? Well, it's not. And that's part of your suffering. Part of your suffering is that your behavior now changing may not be as accepted as it used to be. It's not as welcome as it once was with those people that you used to run with. Amen. Praise his name. Because I know where a lot of those ended up. And I'm here to tell you tonight, a lot of them aren't even still here with us. Amen. And I'm sure you know people too. All right. So rule number one now, the man is happy. Hey, happy is the guy that's not walking in the counsel of the wicked, of the ungodly. All right? Now, I just have to make a little side comment so it'll be a little bit spicy for everybody. How many of you have a telephone? How many of you have a cell phone? How many of you have internet? Good. Don't you find it interesting that people on the internet call themselves influencers? No, I'm serious. What do? They wear clothes and influence you. They work out, they influence you. They say things, they influence you. That's what they call, right? I want that job, by the way. I want to be an influencer. I can't imagine running my mouth and getting paid. Like, what a wonderful job, right? Okay. Here's what I want to say. Be careful. My phone's up here recording me, sorry. Because I'm going to send it out and go, by the way, I'm an influencer. No, I'm just kidding. I'd like to influence you for Jesus. Okay. Now, what I want you to think about is this. See, I think we live in a particularly difficult time. And here's why. Because for our children, for our families, for our homes, look, we're invaded and we don't even want to be invaded. But here's all I want to say to you. Part of the reason for the message is because I have a burden for believers today. Not just for the lost, for believers. We tolerate too much. And I'm not, listen, this isn't a spanking. This is not me taking you out to the woodshed and wearing you out with the paddle. That's not the point of this. What I want you to try to understand the burden is about is I want you to think about we have a God who cannot even look upon sin, who is holy, who is righteous, who is pure, who is undefiled, who loves us beyond all measure, that he would put his son on a cross for us. That just by trusting in that, our entire life's course, our entire life's direction was completely altered, and we received real life with real purpose, with real focus. Where I'm concerned is what we give time to that still has an influence on us that is not as pure and as holy and as undefiled as him. Does that make sense? And I think we've got to be careful because if we're not, that phrase is not wasted on deaf ears. They are influencers. And we are influenceable. Is that a word, Mandy? I don't know. My daughter's an English major, so I have to check these things. But here's all I want you to know. I used to think I was immune to some things. I want you to know tonight. I realize as I get older, you can change my mind. I can be susceptible to things. I can be moved off of a place. If I allow you to influence me long enough, I run the risk that my mind will begin to go down a road I shouldn't be going down. Amen? So don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't take ungodly people's advice on how to run your business. Don't take ungodly people's advice on how to be married. Don't take ungodly people's advice on how to raise your children. Go to the Word of God, go to prayer, make a decision to follow Jesus Christ, and let God's holy, godly counsel work in your life. Don't take any counsel that isn't born again, washed in the blood, living by the book. Amen? Hallelujah. And we won't have any problems that way. Wow, that sounded kind of preachy, and I'm supposed to be teaching. I apologize. All right, let's go back to, so now part two of Psalm 1, right, is, and then he says this. Now watch, he says, and standeth not in the counsel, right? In the counsel, let's go back and read that. We're not going to stand in the counsel. We're not to walk, I'm sorry, stand in the seat. No, I got to read it right. See there, I knew I'd mess it up. I can never memorize any of it. Ready? Nor standeth in the way of sinners. All right? What's a sinner? Everybody who's lost. Amen? Now, this is really cool. The first thing I want you to think about in your mind is, because this is a great picture, the one picture that always stood out to me in the Bible of this particular part of the word is Lot. If you remember, Lot was in Genesis chapter 19. Lot is on the mountain. He's with Abraham. And Abraham, in his grace, says to his brother Lot, he says, you know what? We've got too much stuff between us. And we need to make a choice. So I'm going to let you pick first. And the Bible says that Lot looked down on Sodom and saw the well-watered plains, and it was green, and it was lush, and it was beautiful to look upon, i.e. Genesis chapter 3, amen? 1 John chapter 5. And so he looked on that, and the Bible says that Lot then decided that he would go towards Sodom. A little bit later, the Bible tells us that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. A little bit later, we find out that Lot is living in Sodom. And then we finish with Lot sitting in the gate to the city of Lot, or of Sodom, which is where the leaders sit for a city. In those days, you sat, all the leadership sat in the gate of a city, which meant you were now a part of the leadership of that particular community. I'm sure you can pick up on the progression that happened in Lot's life. I'm sure in his mind he was making a wise choice. Well, look how green it is. Look how well watered it is. Look how nice it is. I need a lot of good things for my cattle, for my business, for my money, for my progression, so that I can be successful and go on and on and on. But the problem was he submitted to the counsel of the ungodly. Then he was caught standing in the way of the sinner. And before he knew it, he was sitting in the seat of the scornful. None of us, this is my only point to that is, I just want to say tonight, none of us saved is immune to that if we're not guarded. Amen? We're just not. Let's look at some verses on that. Go to Psalm 130 with me. Psalm 130, verse 3, real quick. Psalm 130, verse 3. This is a great verse. If the Lord shouldest mark iniquities, if thou, O Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Wow. Aren't you glad tonight God isn't holding your sin on your account? Amen. Nobody can stand before that, let alone those that haven't trusted in the Lord Jesus. Go to Proverbs chapter 25 with me. Proverbs chapter 25, please. Proverbs chapter 25, let's look together, if you would, at verses 6 and 7. Now, this is really a good verse, I thought. Put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. For better it is that it be said unto thee, come up hither, than that thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen. Does everybody understand that? Right? So in other words, it's really better not to promote yourself. If you go to the big party, stay in the background till the big cheese of the party says, hey, why are you doing back there? Come on up. That's much better than if you sat down at the big party cheese's table and he goes, that's for somebody else. I need you to go down to the end. Amen. Amen. Right? So you shouldn't stand there. A little practical advice. Psalm. Let's go to Psalm 69, verse 2. Psalm 69, verse 2. Anybody ever make that mistake? You don't have to raise your hand. I just wondered if anybody besides me has ever done something stupid like that. Verse 1 says this, save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I love this. It says, look, I sink, what, in deep mire, where there is no what? Yeah, there's no standing. Remember, isn't that the beauty? We all say, I was put upon a rock. What's the alternative? Deep mire. Amen? He says, where there is no standing, I am come into deep waters and where the floods overflow me. I want you to think about this. We're in Florida. Florida can be a little swampy. Anybody besides me ever been to a really good swamp in Florida? I have to tell you a funny story. So I had this old buddy. His name was Terry Mullins. And my class knows about Terry Mullins. Terry Mullins was from West Virginia. Terry Mullins had no running water, no electricity. But Terry Mullins was that one guy you wanted to get caught in the backwoods with because you knew you could get out. I saw Terry Mullins fix an Evinrude engine with a paperclip. That's the kind of guy it was. So we're in Blackwater Creek. Anybody know where Blackwater Creek is? So that's up by the Mount Dora. There we go. We got people in Mount Blackwater Creek. So Mark Wickham, my buddy over there, goes fishing. He knows Blackwater Creek. Well, we're in Blackwater Creek. So we're in the creek. Now, Blackwater Creek is not really a creek unless there's enough water. So you're dragging your boat over the stumps and you got to walk up through. And Terry knew some hole way back in the back that was in the middle of nowhere. And sure enough, Terry was right. We get all the way back in after about a mile of battling the mosquitoes and all the stuff. And there's these cliffs and I don't even know how they got there. And in the middle of this, Terry goes, "Well, you know why I brought you guys here?" "No, Terry, why?" He goes, "Because this is where all the striped bass get trapped when the water goes down and they can't get back to the Wakaiva River." Now, I'm the only guy in history that probably couldn't catch a fish there. Everybody else caught fish. It was a great day. Now we get in the boat. We're coming back. And remember, we're in a swamp. And the boat has a problem. And my buddy, who weighs about 240, hops out of the boat. Paul Peacock, he hops out of the boat. Next thing I know, Paul Peacock's in up to his chest in the mire. Now, I'm just here to tell you, I was young, strong, very virile, but I am not strong enough to pull 240 out of the mire. Amen. Why do I tell the story? Because you've done it at the beach. You're standing in the sand, and if you stand in it long enough where the water is washing it out, before you know it, you're caught and you can't get out. Or the mire in the swamp, you step in it and you literally are stuck, people. You know what David said? There's no standing upon the mire. You know what Jesus is called? The rock. The rock. But if you stand with the sinner, you're standing on the mire. You'll have no sound footing. You'll have no foundation with to establish anything that you're doing in your life. Amen? It's good, isn't it? By the way, if you want to go fishing, we run tours now to Blackwater Creek. No, I'm just kidding. We don't do that. I'm just teasing. All right, let's go to Psalm 33:11. I'd like to do a little contrast with this idea. Psalm 33:11, if you would. Psalm 33:11. So one of the things that we talked about early on in the psalm, and it's one of my favorite things about the Bible, I call it the A-B effect. You can call it the 1-2 effect. But what I like about the Bible is the Bible oftentimes will give you both perspectives back to back so that you can see very clearly the differences between the two choices. This is one of those spots in this psalm. Look with me in Psalm chapter 32, and let's look at verse 10 together. Ready? Well, actually, I can't do that. How many of you know where I'm going to go? My class always knows I do this all the time. We got to go. No, you're wrong. We're going to go to 6, right? Watch this. "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." Don't we have a great God? Isn't that amazing, right? All the heavens made. He just said, "Well, let's have some stars, and I feel like some planets, and I feel like making the heavens." I'll tell you, our God's amazing. He's amazing. So he says this in verse 7, "He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap, and he layeth up the deep in storehouses." Verse 8, "Let all the earth fear the Lord, and let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him." Why? Because in verse 9, "For he spake, and it was" what? Man, I'll tell you what. You realize tonight you hold in your hand the spoken word. You realize that when the Lord said, "If you will put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, I will cover you with his blood, and I will pass over your sin, and I will give you everlasting life and a place up in glory, and I will give you a life worth living." You realize when he spake it, it was done. You don't have to worry about your salvation. You don't have to worry about if it's going to happen or not going to happen. The Bible says that we are to put our faith and trust in the promises of the Lord, because he can swear by himself and none other can bring those things to pass. Hallelujah. Glory to his name tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. So then he says this, "He commanded and it stood fast." Verse 10, here's our first part. Ready? "The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught, and he maketh devices of the people of none effect. Now, that phrase devices there is like plans or ideas or things that man manipulates to try to make go his way. God is in a position where he can make those things not come to pass or not be successful. Look what he says in verse 11, though. The counsel of the Lord standeth when? Yeah, forever. And the thoughts of his heart, listen, this is wonderful. The thoughts of the Lord's heart to all generations. Do you realize tonight that we are on the thought of the Lord? We're on his heart tonight. God's heart is towards us. We are the apple of his eye, according to the scripture. The Lord ponders his people. The Lord rejoices in your salvation. The Lord is glad to call you his child. What a joyful place we own when we trusted Christ and we became Christians, amen. What a glorious thing. So we have tonight that the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. Look with me, if you would, at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Go to the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, I just want you guys to know that I am looking at the clock because the big question on everybody's mind tonight is, can Wade actually stop when he's supposed to? Now, I just want a show of hands. Who placed a bet on this? I've got one from Mindy Smith. Anybody else? Okay. For me or against me? For me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody loves me out there. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I love this verse. Ready? Look at, let's get the context. Verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. For their word will eateth doth a canker, and of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred. Did I give you guys the right reference? Chapter 2 of 2 Timothy? Okay. Saying the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of Son. Now, this is very important. Look at the next verse. Ready? Nevertheless, never mind the canker, never mind the babblings, never mind man's opinion, never mind man's devices. He says this, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, don't you love this tonight? The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Hallelujah. The Lord, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure. He knows you. If you're saved tonight, he knows you. Isn't that a blessing? And we don't have to worry about that foundation. Oh, I still got a little time, so we're good. Okay. All right, let's go to part three, the ungodly. Part three of Psalm 1. Let's go back to Psalm 1. We'll cover at least two verses tonight. That'll be a miracle. Amen. Psalm chapter 1. Let's go take a look at it. Last part is this. He says, nor sitteth, verse 1. Did I say we get through 2? I lied. Verse 1, he says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, this is very interesting because scornful people are people who will boast, they will mock, they will make fun of, they will degradate that which is godly. Now, I don't know if it's just me, but what I've noticed in our society right now is an increasing insensitivity to the things of the Lord. And comedians and actors and special people in our quote-unquote world and leaders seem to have a complete disdain for the things which are holy. And they mock the Lord and they make fun of God. And here's one of the things that I would like to just say. Please be very, very careful about allowing that kind of influence in your life. If there's one thing that I do not think the Lord is pleased with, it's casualness. I don't think the Lord is a casual God. If you've read anything about the construction of the tabernacle and all that God did to make the items holy and clean and pure, and the detail to which a person was to be dressed and what the priests had to put on and how they had to operate and how God was on top of every little part of that and all of the construction and all of those things, I just want to say tonight, be careful that as our society throws away things which are honorable and traditional and have value, and they think that the world is casual and we can do as we want because every man does that which he thinks is right in his own eyes. I just want to reemphasize tonight that God is not casual. He is holy and he is righteous and he is worthy to be praised and he is deserving of our best. Hallelujah. Amen. So with that, that's the problem with falling into the seat of the scornful. If you go too far, you'll find yourself sitting down in places where you would accept things in your life that you would never have thought that you would have accepted. Let's talk about a couple verses. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. I think I can get all this done in 2 minutes. Not, but we'll do it. Your example in the scripture of this, and I say this with much respect because I certainly am not criticizing in any way, shape, or form. But if you remember, Peter was asked by the Lord to leave the garden. But he chose to follow. And before we know it, he was standing in the camp. If you remember. And then he denied the Lord the first time. And then we find him a little while later, he's sitting at the fire with those that scorned Jesus Christ. I only bring it up to say that none of us, again, are immune from being drawn into these things if we get too casual in our walk with Christ. Because casualness makes us sloppy, amen, if we're not careful. Makes us sloppy. So in Proverbs chapter 1, let's look at this. It says in verse 22, he says, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate what? Yeah, hate knowledge. Amen. The Bible says that fools hate knowledge. Look real quickly at chapter 3. Chapter 3. And let's look at verse 34. Verse 33. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blessed the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to stick to my word. It is 7:55 or 6:55, so we're going to stop right there. I will pick it up next week. I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your busy day to be here to fellowship in the word of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we can't thank you enough for your word. Thank you for your warnings and your admonitions. Thank you for caring enough about our lives after salvation to direct our steps and to guide us. May you give us hearts to love your word, to follow it, to obey it. May you help it to be fulfilled now in our hearts. Anchor it by your Holy Spirit. We thank you, we love you, we praise you, and most of all, we glorify your Son who's made all this possible. Please keep us safe as we go our separate ways. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thanks for tuning into Crosstalk. Please share what you've learned with a friend. For more information about Crossroads Church, visit us for a service or check out our website at www.crbible.com.